Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
All right, we take a break from all this football talk here in Atlanta and in Charlotte. We turn our attention to the great outdoors in South Carolina, another edition of SC Wild here on Sports Talk with DNR and with Major Billy Downer, joining us from the state of Florida, where he has gone down to a big fishing show in an area where fishing is very, very popular. Major Downer, good evening. Welcome into Sports Talk and SC Wild. How are you, sir?
Glad to be here, Phil. Another good night. Yes, I'm in Alligator Land, Disneyland, and Fishing Land, as it were.
Yeah.
So a busy night here, but yes. Have not seen alligators. I did see a deer.
Did see a deer. Okay, hope you didn't hit it.
Did see a deer. No alligators. No, didn't hit it. But looking at probably more fishing paraphernalia and gear than I have seen in years in one big building.
What is the event you're attending?
So this is ICAST 2022. This is probably as big as what people would know as the SHOT Show for firearms and ammunition industry. This is where all the fishing industry comes to show their wares for the next year. So a big deal here. Our department comes and we do a booth to thank basically all the vendors and recognize those vendors in the state that are in the fishing industry as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's busy. It does, you know, just like we talked about Pittman Robertson dollars for hunter education, ranges, firearms, all this, the money we use for that. Take one, make one, minute hunting. There is another tax called the Dingell-Johnson Act to place an excise tax on fishing gear. And that goes back to provide for public fishing areas, mm-hmm. provide for our fisheries division. Very similarly, like our wildlife division runs off of Pittman Robertson dollars. So we like to thank the vendors in our state that help provide those excise tax dollars. So, in a moment, I can tell you how many we have, but fishing is a huge industry in our state. In fact, just got the updated number for right now. Total economic impact annually in South Carolina, $1.2
billion.
Woo. Billion.
That's billion with a B.
With a B. That's hotel rooms. That's not just gear. It's hotel rooms, travel, all that stuff. So a big industry in our state. People, whether they're coming to fish, you know, on the lake, like Lake Murray, Lake Marion, or on the ocean, on the coast.
Is there a lean one way or the other with the fishermen? Do they prefer the salt water and the ocean, or do they prefer hitting up the lakes and the freshwater around the state?
Well, obviously, for our state, we're going to have more freshwater fishing than saltwater because there's more opportunity. We have striped bass in several lakes. We have a good bass fishery in many lakes, several lakes. So there's a lot of attraction there for sure. But there's a saltwater, of course, as well up and down our coast. I can't remember how many miles of coastline we have, but it's a lot. And there's popularity there with sea trout. Redfish, you know, we're not necessarily known for redfish like Louisiana is, but we do have a good redfish fishery, and we've done pretty well with that. Flounder, with recent changes, trying to maintain our flounder fishery, where you got North Carolina has hardly any now. We're trying to make sure we have a good flounder fishery. So a lot of attention placed on fishing in our state, in our fisheries. We're working hard to just kind of figure that out. I can like I say, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
What would you say, and Major Billy Downer is in Orlando at a big fishing exposition there, big vendor exposition. What would you say are some of the key advancements in the world of fishing over the last 10 years or so? You know, we think about fishing. We think about having a pole and a line and a hook and bait and dropping it in the water and hoping for some good luck, but I know it's much more scientific and sophisticated than that. What do you cite in your mind as some of the key advances in fishing in the last 10 years?
It's funny. We've been sitting around talking amongst some of the biologists that are in our fisheries and just laughing about today's fishery gear compared to fishing gear 50 years ago. And here's the thing. We've got all these advancements. You've got all these nice, you know, ball-bearing reels. You've got graphite rods, very sensitive. You've got all the advancements in monofilament, you know, that gives you this great sensitivity in a smaller line. Then you've got your braided line, all those advancements there, and great, you know, at this show, you look at all of the different lures that are available today that look like every kind of fish you've ever thought about, and then the ones you can imagine, just make up. But back 50 years ago, they still caught fish. So it's kind of comical when you think about it. They caught as much fish we fish today, really.
Yeah.
They caught the same fish we catch today. But the trends are there. But I'd say advancements for us. To show what I see in my first time being here, a lot of interest in the paddle sports, kayaks, and paddle boards and fishing off of those. I see a lot more interest in that now. Because anybody can buy one. They're a lot cheaper than a boat. You power them by your foot. They've got the fishing kayaks to paddle with your feet. And can take those salt water and fresh water, and they're really nice. They got rod holders. They got a holder for a cooler. And I just saw a new advancement today. They put a magnet. Who would have thought of this? They put a magnet on the base, and they make a Yeti that has they have their own brand of Yeti that puts the boat, B-O-T-E, they call it boat. They have a magnet on the bottom of their flask it sits and holds on the boat so it won't spill. I mean, they have thought of all these things.
Why didn't we think of that?
I'm not kidding. And then again, you know, you talk about advancements, go back to most bass fishermen will remember the word. They know the word gamakatsu. Hmm. And gamakatsu is laser sharp, and just the technology now and how sharp they can make hooks and how quick they'll catch a fish. Sharpness of a hook does matter. It does matter how fast you catch a fish and how quick it'll penetrate the jaw to catch that. So it's one of those things that just you don't think about. But there's so many hook manufacturers out there, and they're all here. Gamakatsu, I saw them. I recognize that name. But, you know, Eagle Claw, all the different ones you could think of that are here. Pure Fishing, which owns most every name of everything you know, Zebco, Penn, Shakespeare, all that is under that one big umbrella now of Pure Fishing. And they're in South Carolina, big industry.
Yeah.
And then from everything from that to a little small company called Toadfish that started in South Carolina a few years ago. And a lot of people recognize Toadfish. They had this little kind of a little lime green cups that you'll stick on the top of koozies for a beer can or your favorite beverage, and they have a little suction cup on the bottom. You put on they're meant to put on a boat so they won't spill, and they suction cup to wherever you put them on. But now, talking today, they have everything from deveiners. They have for shrimp. They have oyster knives. They've got fish cutting boards, fish knives. They've come out with a really nice line of rods and introducing their own reels now in their combination. And I asked them today, what is your number one selling item? This Toadfish, number one selling item. And out of all those things, it is the deveiner for shrimp. Their deveiner is basically made to take a whole shrimp and splits the shell, fillets it, and removes any of the bad material in that vein of the shrimp. Basically, they're poop, to be quite honest. the mud from the vein of the shrimp, no doubt about it, yes.
Okay, I understand that. We have Major Billy Downer with us from in Orlando. If you have a question about the fishing world, a question about apparel or equipment, he's there, got his eyes on everything. You can reach us, 888-898-2525 is our phone number. What about the pricing for fishing goods these days? Rising, holding the same, what are they doing?
Everything's rising. Just the cost of making things is more expensive today. So they've got that going on. But, you know, it's relative. I mean, look at what we're paying for gas right now, boat fuel. People are willing to pay it. If they're on the lake, they're paying for gas.
Yeah.
You know, again, like I was saying, I think with pricing, some of the things that you see is the paddle sports are becoming popular because anybody can afford it. And that's the way folks can get on there. And they've got these really nice fishing kayaks and paddle boards designed to hold rods that you can fish with, that you can troll with on the kayak and paddle it yourself. So they're doing really well.
Let me ask you a question about that. Let me ask you a question about that. Now, I mean, you're in a kayak, you're dropping a line. I mean, you've got tight quarters there in a kayak. How do you handle a big one? What if you land a big fish? I mean, you don't want to stand up in your kayak and stuff like that. How do you deal with a heavy load of a fish if you're in a kayak?
You remember the old book, The Old Man in the Sea? He caught the big marlin, pulled it in a little boat, but no.
In a kayak?
It was even small. That was a story, of course. But
yeah.
And a shark ate it before he got back in. But anyway, the famous story. But, yeah, so for us, I mean, for kayaks, it's a lot of red fishing. And you can catch a big redfish. You catch 36 of redfish, it's going to pull that thing around, yes. But that's part of the fun. It's going to tire the fish out and make sure you can land that fish.
So, but is it dangerous for the kayaker?
Absolutely not. No, they've got them a wide enough base on those. They don't flip over very easily, the fishing kayaks. They're close to the water.
Mm-hmm.
They've got all kind of amenities on them. They've got foot rests, foot pedals, where you can actually pedal them. You can put a motorized device on them. Of course, if you do that, you've got to register them, just like a boat.
Mm-hmm.
If you foot pedal them, you don't. The foot pedal is a really neat feature.
If you put a trolling motor on a kayak,
you have to register
it as a motorized boat.
Just like a one-man boat for brim fishing or bass fishing on a lake. One-man boats we've seen for years. The little mouse, the warrior boats, all those boats have to be registered when you put a trolling motor on. Yes.
And corn.
Any kind of artificial propulsion.
Sorry, real fast, too. Corn, when he was talking about kayak fishing and you may get dragged if you catch a larger fish, a long, old-timey term for that is a Nantucket sleigh ride. Back in the old whaling days, it was a common term where these guys would go out in smaller boats from the large ship once they saw a pod of whales, and then once they would harpoon the whales would take off and drag them behind, and it was known as a Nantucket sleigh ride. And now people today experience that on kayaks. And it's a lot of fun. It's not dangerous unless, like he was saying, you get dragged out into dangerous waters or something like that. And then in terms of pulling the fish back to shore, just think about it. If you jump in the water, you can conceivably kind of drag a boat along because it weighs less because it's buoyant. It's up on the water. Similar theory with a fish. So you could drag a considerably large fish behind you back to shore in a kayak.
Now, when we say large fish, we're talking about inshore fishing with kayaks for the most part.
Right.
They're
not
fishing offshore that much. Some of them near shore, maybe, but most all are done inshore. So you're on creeks, tidal creeks. Now, if it gets a real big tide, yeah, you have to be careful with that. You have to be smart. They're definitely meant for flounder. They're meant for sea trout. They're meant for redfish. And people do very well. And they're built so they can. Actually, they have places to tie down a cooler behind you. They have a pretty comfortable seat and lots of rod holders on it, drink holders. I mean, all kind of stuff to make that kayak a fishing machine. So that's what I see is more popular. I see a lot of that today. Paddles, you know, people selling paddles for those. Some advancements in PFD technology. People making these your rain suits that float. Believe it or not, I saw one of those today. Pretty neat to help flotation device. So, I mean, just really cool.
The event that you're out in Orlando, where is it, and is it open to the public?
Is it the Orlando Convention Center? There is some public entry, but you got to pay to get in. The thing is, it is built around the industry and dealers.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a place where your dealers come that want to sell merchandise. Like maybe a Hadrill's might come that's wanting, and Charles is wanting to come sell, you know, get some new gear, or some of the retailers come in there to order for the next year. So that's really what's built around. There are some single people, you know, folks in there could buy a ticket, go in there,
but it's built mainly around folks are able to come up there and buy. The dealers or vendors are actually selling their wholesale items to dealers who are signing up for the year. They're showing the price for 2023.
Are you seeing very many vendors from the state of South Carolina?
We do. I was going to get the number. I try to remember how many vendors from South Carolina are here. And I can tell you that in just a second.
Sure.
I'll get the man that will know, because I'm with them right now. Ross, how many vendors have we got in South Carolina?
We're talking to Major Vendor. Billy Downer from Orlando.
Yeah, around South Carolina. They're in our state, fishing vendors.
Live radio, live investigation taking place.
15 here. So about between 50 and 60 in the state that actually sell fishing gear. Yeah. And that's part of that industry, too.
That's pretty big representation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that is. That is pretty big. That's a
Which
huge
is,
deal. So.
What is the biggest?
And we have 15 of them here.
Yeah.
Some of those include, just like we talked about, that's like a small group with toadfish. That's one of them. Again, tier fishing is a big one in our state. So some pretty neat vendors around.
But Shakespeare would be the largest in the state, would you say?
They're part of pure fishing. Yes, big. Absolutely.
Very good.
And then you got smaller, you know, you've got your things that may not be in the state but are created here. A lot of people don't realize. So you've got fishing apparel here, shirts, performance wear, Hook, H-U-K. That company was founded by two guys from Clemson University. Two guys that were AGR fraternity brothers started that whole industry. It's amazing. You think people from South Carolina start something like that. They did a tremendous fishing group. You got Haybo. We've talked about Haybo before, apparel.
Yeah.
They're here in South, just based out of South Carolina. Hook is not in South Carolina anymore, but it was founded by two guys that were from here and went to Clemson. So just some neat things that have started here in our state that we just got some really neat connections with.
Absolutely. Major Billy Downer, SC Wild, tonight from Orlando at the big fishing exhibition there. Let me ask you this.
Outcast 2022.
Let me ask you this about your fishing preference and your fishing skills. Number one, have you ever gone fly fishing?
I have been fly fishing. It's a lot of fun. I'd love to do more of it in our state. Fly fishing in our state, typically done on the Saluda River for smallmouth bass.
Mm-hmm.
There is some fly fishing done, of course, up in the upstate on the smaller streams, but our streams are so tight, it's hard to get a real true fly fishing experience like you would maybe in Alaska where I went. You've got open streams and lots of wide room, or out west where you've got wide streams with lots of room to work your fly.
How many feet would you say that you'd need? How many feet, how much space do you need to do it properly?
Oh, you probably want about 150 feet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because you're flipping that, and you got to remember, you flip that fly, it's about the action of flipping forward and what they call loading the fly. You got to be able to pull back. And our streams are so inundated with trees, you pull back, you'll be in a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be able to get. So Saluda River's very, very well suited for that kind of fishing, because you can get out of the rocks and shallows and you can work that fly out there. You got plenty of room to work your fly and load it. We call it load it, which means when you let it back and then throw it forward and throw it out there in the water. So fly fishing is a whole different art. With floating flies, you got small sinking flies. It's just a whole lot of different techniques there. So, but that's a whole different type fishery. Haven't seen a whole lot of fly fishing here. I haven't been through the whole show, but I've got a lot of different things going on as far as you've got all the different types of fishing wear and boating wear here. So.
Mm-hmm.
More than just the industry I've talked about.
Let me ask you this, too, while we're talking about fishing. I mean, we talk so much about hunting and boating and licenses and things like that. When it comes to the world of fishing in South Carolina, what does somebody have to know about in terms of licenses or taxes or anything like that they have to pay?
So Our fishing license in South Carolina is $10 for a state state fishing license for a year. It's cheap as dirt. That's just as cheap as it gets. And a saltwater fishing license is another $10. Of course, saltwater is anything pretty much east of 17, Highway 17. So,
all right, let me ask you this question. So, I mean, I'm not a big fisherman, but I've dropped a line here and there from time to time. And when I'm at the beach and I get a chance to go to Merle's Inlet or something like that, I might go out and drop a line and see if I can catch some flounder or something. Do I need, if a DNR guy, an agent comes up to me, and do I need an agent? Do I need a license just to got, kind of like go behind the house and do casual fishing? And just just like for an afternoon, like one time a year, I got to have a license?
Yes, you do. Absolutely. Especially Phil Kornblut. That would be no greater joy than Phil Kornblut. Yeah, Billy, I think I just got cited for not having a license. Really? Yeah, so fishing off. So we've done this several times. You're fishing in the surf, you still have to have a saltwater fishing license because you could get checked there. So
really?
Because you're fishing in a public fishery. Absolutely. The only time you don't have to have a fishing license, a common misconception, is in a private pond. And a private pond means one that somebody's built on their land, not public water. You don't have to have a fishing license, and no, there's no limits there either. Your limits only apply, and your licenses apply to public water. So in our state, typically annually, the one number we didn't talk about 300,000 fishing licenses sold a year. So a little bit more than hunting.
I'm afraid I've broken the law many times. When it comes to fishing, just call me a fishing outlaw. I'm just an outlaw when it comes to fishing.
I'll advise you of your legal rights. Do not speak anymore.
I'm glad I know that.
There's limitations in this state, yeah.
I mean, but, if you're fish, what if you don't catch anything? You still have to have a license?
Yes, if you're fishing, you got to have a license. The act of fishing doesn't mean you catch something. Fishing is the part of fishing is you go out there and you try. You reel that line and you throw it out and you reel it in. So, I mean, again, that's what fishing's about. We're talking about this today. It's been really interesting to me to sit with our folks, our fisheries guys and our marine guys, and just talk about all the challenges in our fishery right now, the successes we have. You know, we're the first state that had an inland striped bass to begin with, Lake Marion, when that all started. The Santee Cooper Lake system, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie. We were the first to have an inland striped bass fishery. And that's been spread across the country now, and in the lakes across our state as well. The interest in flounder coming up in the future, a lot of interest legislatively, wanting to do some kind of flounder release, and all the challenges that are involved in that. Just listening to our biologists tell us some really neat stuff, to try to propagate flounder is very difficult. The water temperature can cause you to have all males, whether it's too hot or too cold. Mm-hmm. Either way, you'll get more all males. Well, people go, well, who cares? We just want fish in the water. Well, if you want the fishery to continue, you got to have males and females. It doesn't work with all males. Mm-hmm. And then there's a whole lot of unknowns of how those fish will survive. And just to get them up to about 2 inches long takes an incredible amount of time and effort. So it's really interesting when you compare to what nature does on its own. And so what we've tried to do in recent years with, and people may not understand this, but this is one of the reasons why we've done the reduction to, you know, 5 per personal flounder, 10 per boat, is to let our own ecosystem, our nature, fix itself, allow time for it to fix itself, because flounder do so much better in the wild. So that's just some of the challenges, but we are looking at what the ins and outs of a flounder release would be like. Redfish, still doing, we release, I think, 1 million redfish a year, or more than that. It's an incredible number of fish.
Okay, Major. So, you enjoy yourself in Florida, and we'll talk to you back here on SC Wild in a couple of weeks and pick up on this and other topics. We appreciate it.
George, thanks, sir.
As always, thank you, Major. Major Billy Downer from DNR with us here on SC Wild on Sports Talk. That'll do it. Thank you, Pat. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.